Mini episode 969 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to mini episode number 969 of the FDH Lounge. And one of the great things that we get a chance to do every year, that is to preview WrestleMania 34 week. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris. And I have with me today one of our favorite FDH Lounge dignitaries from over the years, good friend Jake Digman, expert on all things pro wrestling, MMA, etc., etc., etc. Always a pleasure to get Diggs in the FDH Lounge talking about whatever we got going on. In this case, it's WrestleMania 34 week, the event itself, but everything leading up to it, because for many years now, WrestleMania has just been sort of the culmination of the week. Although, to be honest with you, maybe there's a few times where WrestleMania was just the go-home show for the Raw after WrestleMania, where that show was a little bit more compelling. I think that probably won't be the case this year, but there will be a live Raw and a live SmackDown wrapping up the week after the event itself. WrestleMania 34 week is going to be very unique. A good friend of ours will be taking it all in very actively, and Jake Digman, I know that he will be a very busy guy, but hopefully he'll have some fun in New Orleans. I know how much he loves that city and how much fun he has there, and hopefully we'll have just as much fun watching the events of this week.
Yeah, hopefully, and hopefully he takes it all in. By the way, Rick, thank you for that very kind intro. I agree with all of you, except for I'm not an expert in that third, etc. That's not me.
Well, I was being kind, Jennings, but
I appreciate the kind.
It's always
WrestleMania week, man. Has Roman won the belt yet?
It's been inevitable since pretty much last year. You know, I got a Facebook private message from a buddy of mine the other day who back around the time of the Monday Night Wars, I used to watch wrestling with a couple of these guys. We get together for pay-per-views, and one of the delights of Facebook is that I've gotten reacquainted with them in the last year or so, but these guys are much more casually into wrestling these days. They have the opinion, and I can't argue with it at all, that wrestling was better back in those days. But the one guy, I won't mention his name because I love him to death, but he's like, I kind of get the feeling that they're setting it up for Roman Reigns to win the title. I was like, yeah, that's only been official since last WrestleMania. So, you know, to the uber casuals, it just looks like something they're building to. To anybody who's more than an uber casual, this is something that we have seen coming for 365 days and not necessarily with great anticipation.
Shut up and let it happen.
Yeah.
It's going to be easier that way. Just let it happen. just relax. Just relax. Let it happen.
I know in these politically correct days it will never happen, but before the main event, the most fitting thing of all would be if they put up on the Superdome scoreboard, the Videotron, whatever it is, that sound clip of Bobby Knight from years ago where he says, if it's inevitable, just lay back and enjoy it, because that's basically where we're at.
We shall see, as the kids say.
I don't think Vince McMahon is nearly self-aware enough to do something like that, but that is certainly the attitude. But before that inevitable moment comes Sunday night, there are going to be many, 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 I don't know if you'd say WrestleMania moments, because traditionally they're just linked to the event itself, but many memorable moments at any rate going on during the course of the week. Let's start with, again, it has been a magnet for some of the biggest and best indie shows of the year, every year, for several years now. The thing that is going to definitely be the highlight of the week, this is something that I find really kind of curious and interesting, is that clearly it's not the blow-off of the Bullet Club implosion, but Cody, don't call him Rhodes, v. Kenny Omega, is headlining Supercard of Honor 12 from the Lakefront Arena on April 7th of this week. So that's an interesting thing here. Number one, that match isn't going to New Japan. which they clearly had to have signed off on letting ROH do this in terms of what it means to the Bullet Club angle. But I also wonder, too, and everybody keeps talking about this whole thing now of New Japan emerging as a rival to WWE. I sort of view it as that there's this sort of grand alliance out there. New Japan, ROH, TNA is now into this. You've got Lucha Underground. By the way, I'm looking forward to that John Morrison v. John Morrison match at Lucha Underground versus Impact.
Johnny Impact versus Johnny Mundo?
Yes.
Johnny Mundo is going to destroy him.
I think so. That guy knows parkour.
He knows parkour, and he's got the Worldwide Underground with him.
He does. But this is one of these things where it makes it a little bit harder for me to sort of take seriously the notion of anybody emerging as a big rival to WWE when the match that is arguably the biggest match that there could be in any of these federations right now, and it's not necessarily the one, I say arguably, but it's taking place WrestleMania week. It's taking place in the shadow of the real thing, you know, as opposed to over the summer when New Japan comes back to California or an event at the Tokyo Dome or anything like that. So that's just one of those things. Maybe I look at it differently than other people, but I almost look at it like it kind of diminishes these federations that they're putting on such a big match in the shadow of WrestleMania itself.
I can see that, but it's also gotten to the point now where WrestleMania, it used to just be like the day of the show, like just WrestleMania, and now with the advent of the WWE Network and really all sorts of like streaming apps, the Fight Network, as a matter of fact, that's how I watch ROH, and I hadn't watched ROH in years, and all of a sudden I downloaded that and was like, hey, I get ROH now, and it's wrestling, and I like different wrestling. You know, wrestling's on and it's wrestling, you know, and it's good, I'm going to watch it. And that's one that, you know, thanks in part to that being there, it gives it I see your point, but I don't think this is the blow-off to this feud.
Right.
I think it's just the next chapter in this feud, so I think it's just going to be, I really think the story here is, can Kenny Omega continue to be Kenny Omega, and can he get a, as they like to say, an MOTYC out of Cody Rhodes, who, quite frankly, I love his character. His character is great. He's just his in-ring stuff, it leaves a little to be desired. And I know it's kind of in vogue to kind of crap on him a little bit, but it's just like, it seems like it never really kicks into that next gear. And if anybody can get it to kick into the next gear, it would be a Kenny Omega. But as I said, I don't think this is going to be where that match happens. And you mentioned, you know, you're surprised that New Japan would give them this match. They're giving them a story of this match, but I think the actual blow-off where Cody has that match that gets over the hump, that's going to happen either when New Japan comes back to the United States this summer or at one of their big shows over in Japan. I think this is just a, hey, get eyes on the product. And don't get me wrong, it'll be a serviceable 3.5 stars match, but it's not going to be, I don't see it being that blow-away thing that everybody thinks it's going to be, but then again, I've been proven wrong in the past.
I totally agree with you. It's not going to be the blow-off match, it's just going to be the start of it, but it's one of those things where they'd have to do a much slower burn than they clearly anticipated doing, but this is a match where, again, you would think you would be holding this one potentially in reserve for All In September 1st, because in terms of what's going to put 10,000 asses in seats, I know that they're probably still crossing their fingers, and a lot of people are, that good old Phil Brooks is going to take an Uber across town and show up and participate in some meaningful way. Being there just to wave at the crowd does not count. That's not going to put 10,000 asses in the seats, but this is a match that could have headlined All In, and I don't know if that's a match that draws you 10,000 or not, but in terms of the possibilities on that show, and I think they're going to have to stack up the matches. I don't think it's any one match that's going to do that, but this is a match that could have been the match of matches of two or three or four big matches on that card, and it's clearly not going to be the blow-off because, as you say, New Japan's going to get it. So how these guys get used in September coming out of this is going to be interesting as well.
Let me throw this out of you. Throw this at you. An old pro wrestling booking style is the old-fashioned trilogy, where you have one and the other, like, for example, Omega and Okada. something like that, or like a Flair and a Steamboat, you know? If you do one here, and then, you know, if this is where, you know, it lives up to, it exceeds the hype, and they're like, okay, well, we want to see this again, and you can do build on a story there where, let's say Omega takes the win, Cody takes homage to that, and it's like, hey, let's do this again at All In, and then you build the story to that, and then you have your final blow-off at Wrestle Kingdom, if you want to build it up this far.
You just put a crazy thought in my head. You put a crazy thought in my head, Jake Digman, because again, Flair, Steamboat, I'd say the greatest trilogy of all time, 29 years ago. What were the three cities involved in that? Chicago, New Orleans, Nashville. Is New Japan planning a show in Nashville between now and then?
Not that I'm aware of, but, you know, and I don't think they're going to uproot the Tokyo Dome to that, but hey, you never know. I hear there's some openings in Nashville for some wrestling, so you'll see.
That reminds me of watching, I think it was Starrcade 95, the one that New Japan was involved with, and this was clearly a setup among the announcers as far as talking about this. Somebody, I think it was Mike Tenay, was talking about that the New Japan wrestlers had been out training in the Smoky Mountains. And then one of the other announcers said, that's ridiculous. There's no wrestling in the Smoky Mountains. Like, that's the greatest shot of all time, burying dirt on a promotion that had just gone under. But as far as the week goes, yeah, there's any number of shows. You pretty much got to be a gazillionaire and or tireless to be able to attend all of the big shows leading up to this.
When would you sleep? It's crazy. You're going to have to be on like a concoction of like tons of Adderall and caffeine just to like survive.
Well,
I mean, the world.
And here's the thing, too. One of the ones that, again, and I'm just going off of impressions from what I've read of past WrestleMania weeks, but usually one of the most memorable ones, because it is so friggin' far outside the box, Joey Janela's Spring Break. They're having Spring Break 2, again, in a late-night spot, 11:55 Friday night at the Pontchartrain Civic Center. So it's like, even if you've been watching wrestling all day, you're going to go to this thing at 11:55. That's a literal question, Jake, as to when you would sleep.
And then, you know, not only that, you got, I mean, it is a wrestling fan's, it's the closest thing you can get to Nirvana as a wrestling fan.
Yes.
You've got, you know, as you just mentioned, 11:55, and that's kind of the only one that's going on that late at night.
Right.
You've got the TNA versus, Impact versus Lucha Underground show. You've got WrestleCon, where if you're a fan of old-timers, you can go in and see all the old-time guys, or guys that, you know, from the Attitude Era. We're old now. Those are now old-timers. and then you've got, like, and you just, I mean, it's a never-ending thing. WWE stuff, you know, you've got your,
right.
Does it still have Access? I'm assuming that's still a thing.
Yes. Access, too. I haven't even talked about Access. So Access leads up to this. You've got the autograph sessions
and matches
there.
Matches at Access.
Right. I think they've traditionally used NXT guys the last couple of years, which is brilliant because it's a great way to get those guys across to the audience that's there. They're the hardest core, so they can appreciate the NXT guys, but also for the casuals that there's a lot of families, kids, whatever. It's a way to expose them to the next generation of the stars. So that's a great way for them to go. And then, of course, we're starting to get into, from what you said, we're starting to segue nicely, nice segue on your part, to the actual WWE-sanctioned part of the week, which, of course, is the majority of the week, because it is WrestleMania week, after all. So you've got Access, you've got that bleeding into their first big event, which is going to be the Hall of Fame on Friday night. It used to be on Saturday night before they started putting TakeOver in that spot, but the Hall of Fame class of 2018... just like every year, I mean, it's a pretty solid one because there's a lot of names that haven't made it in yet. At some point, that won't be the case, but for now, there's still guys, big-timers that haven't made it in yet. Goldberg is the headliner of this class, the main eventer, if you will. And in the, I'd say, the semi-main event spot, you've got the Dudley Boys, arguably the most decorated tag team of all time. Going down the list further, WWE, also WWF at the time, Diva Ivory, as well as a Glow wrestler back in the day. Double J, Jeff Jarrett, shockingly making it in. Jarius J.J. Robertson is the Warrior Award recipient as a double liver transplant survivor. Hillbilly Jim makes it in. Kid Rock in the celebrity wing. And Mark Henry, making it in about, I think, 22 years after signing that 20-year deal. And again, we thought he wouldn't make it to the end of it, and yet he's a guy who never officially had a retirement ceremony. You may remember one with a salmon jacket that didn't exactly come off, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, he had a retirement ceremony because his real retirement can never beat his fake retirement.
That's right, that's right.
He said that. He co-hosts Busted Open on Sirius Satellite Radio, and I listened to that, and he mentioned that. He's like, I can never have a retirement because I'll never beat my fake retirement because no one will believe it.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, he is he's somebody who, again, certainly improved off of where he was in those early couple of years when it looked like the money was just a sunk cost. And I think, again, I think you'd struggle to say that he, quite frankly, justified the contract that he got at that point in time as he was getting superstar money. But they didn't, unfortunately, go with Hall of Pain until much later in his career. But it's clearly the epic climax of his career and a monster run. I used to refer to him at the time as Black Vader because, you know, that's pretty much how strong that whole thing was. You know, he was working on a level of like Vader 93. That's how great he was at that time.
Sidebar real quick. I just watched a thing online of a Vader and Gary Albright, which from All Japan, which was fantastic. That's a whole other topic of conversation.
That sounds like a real slobber knocker, to paraphrase.
It was actually a straight up just like amateur wrestling match. It reminded me of an MMA fight, and I absolutely loved it.
Oh, okay.
It's really, I'll send it to you.
Thank you. Thank you. I find that intriguing.
It's only a short clip, but it's so much fun. Old school wrestling. I am huge. Yeah, I was one of those people that was counting down when Mark Henry's contract was going to be up.
Yeah.
I think it was with you when we previewed WrestleMania 22 in the special foregone conclusion match against The Undertaker, and everyone was like, Mark Henry has to lose here just so he can leave. Because everyone was just like, that's it. That was year 10, I think. That was going to be it. And then they re-upped him again, and he came back through, and we got the Hall of Pain. And I remember marking out when he won. And he won the title, and he pinned Randy Orton clean. And I was like, yeah, I was actually happy for the guy. So that's pretty cool. Have you noticed a trend in the Hall of Fame where I think this is the thing they're starting to do, and I'm going to give Triple H credit, so it's maybe Vince. One of the two where the, holy crap, you never thought you'd see that happen moment. Last year, it was Jim Cornette. The first year it started, I believe, with Bruno Sammartino.
Right.
Then they had, because no one ever thought Bruno would come back. And Bruno came back, went into the WWE Hall of Fame. From there, I'm trying to think who it was. The Warrior.
Yeah.
No one saw that coming.
Right.
Last year we had Jim Cornette coming in to induct the Rock and Roll Express. Was another one no one thought would ever happen.
Right.
And then this year it's Jeff Jarrett, who is kind of interesting that he's going in, considering his past year of stuff that's been going on. But I got to say, with him, no one has done so much with so little in his career. Like, he kept that GFW thing going where there was no GFW, and he promoted nothing for 2 years. Annexed his way into his old company, got his old company back, left his old company, and then somehow ended up back to the WWE, full circle. Man, if there's anybody out there who's inspired to just say, hey, you know what? Pluck along, you know, it's good old Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
That's a great point.
That's going to be pretty cool. And I'm looking forward to his speech, and I really hope he mentions TNA. I don't see how he can't mention TNA, especially with AJ Styles as a WWE champion, Samoa Joe, Bobby Roode, Eric Young, so many guys that came through the TNA system that are now in WWE that are featured guys. I don't see any way where he can't at least touch on that. I don't think he'll say Impact, but TNA, I think he can say, because technically TNA doesn't exist anymore. So that's something that I think, you know, a way around. And they have mentioned TNA on a couple of events before. Heck, Dixie Carter was on the WWE Network as one of the Kurt Angle specials. So they've become less and less strict about, you know, that doesn't exist portion. I don't foresee the Dudleys getting as much love on that, though. It's just going to be, hey, you guys, you know, they might mention it. A couple of guys out there, but, you know, that being about it. And then on the topic of the main the headliner, Goldberg. I didn't realize this until somebody brought this up the other day to me. Apparently, Triple H did an interview several years ago, and they asked him what would they consider Goldberg to be a WWE Hall of Famer. And Triple H's response was he didn't think that Goldberg was around long enough and had enough time in the ring, enough matches. Well, apparently, he just needed 10 more minutes. That's what got him into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
He was 10 minutes away. Yeah, the cumulative amount of his multiple matches that he had in the company last year.
Yeah, so good old 10 minutes and got him in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, honestly, good for Bill. I mean, it'll be fun. Anytime he goes to hear Paul Heyman, one Jew and that being his fellow Jew, that'll be fun.
I was going to say, you just did. Fellow member of the tribe inducting him. I mean, aside from that, one struggles to understand what the parallel is as far as why you would pick Heyman. DDP would have been fine. I mean, he's done it before, but I mean, DDP or any of the guys from WCW.
Goldberg, actually, I think, Heyman.
Yeah.
Because of his relationship, and he's the best hype man, and I mean, and you gotta wonder if really Bill Goldberg really cares that much about his WCW time. I know, as wrestling fans, you're like, how could you say that? It was what launched his career. I mean, maybe to him it was just a job, you know?
Well, he's given off pretty strong just a business vibes for most of his career. I mean, the whole thing last year, that's what made it seem out of character, is coming back so his kid could see him. Because aside from that, I mean, look, if he really cared enough, he would have found a way to stick in the business. I don't say that disparagingly. I'm not saying he owed it to us to care. No. A lot of guys look at it as a business, and I have no place telling them not to, because that's their business. But he's always seemed like one of those guys that's just a business for the most part. So, yeah, I don't think he looks at it with any kind of particular nostalgia either. You know, and this is one of these things, too, in terms of Jeff Jarrett. It would be funny to hear him mention TNA or Impact just to have it be bleeped out. How amazing would that be?
That would be funny. That would also be sad.
Well, like, if they did it as a goof, you know, like, if they cut to Vince backstage with a shit-eating grin and his finger on a clearly labeled dump button, I mean, that would be funny, right? They'd be, like, on the joke.
That would be pretty funny. Yeah. Or just send Kane out there to stop him from talking.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, and This whole group of inductees, I mean, as far as all of them making it in, and people poke holes as they do every year on whether or not some of them are deserving. It is what it is. And on Jeff Jarrett, I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to make an analogy to what you said about his career in ring, because I always saw him as somebody who was solid, who was fundamentally strong and everything like that. But you talk about how much he did as a promoter with how little. By the way, Global Force Wrestling worked best as a scam for selling gold subsequently, as opposed to the actual in-ring wrestling. That won't be mentioned at all during the Hall of Fame ceremony. But you talk about how much he did with how little in terms of promotional acumen and money behind him and everything like that. Without sounding unduly disparaging, I hope, I could say the same thing about his in-ring career. Guy pushed as a multiple-time world champion in WCW and TNA with his skill set and his charisma and everything like that. I mean, again, over-pushed is a word that I would use as far as his career. And I'm not saying that to be mean. It's just my honest opinion. But again, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it because, again, you know, in Hillbilly Jim 2, they set the precedent a long time ago. Friggin' Coco Beware is in there. Unpredictable Johnny Rods is in there. This ain't the Observer James Hall of Fame. Yeah, I mean, you can't apply the usual criteria to it because a lot of the ones that are in there wouldn't belong if that were the case. You know, that sailed a long time ago.
One of my favorite things about the Hall of Fame, and actually the Hall of Fame is, as an old school wrestling fan, as a lifelong wrestling fan, the Hall of Fame is one of my favorite nights of the year, where I just like to sit back, pop open a few cold ones, listen to old timers tell stories. And I like that. It brings back, you know, some good times. And it's like, there's certain times, and I hope New Orleans isn't like this, where I really wish they did it without the wrestling fans, because God, can they be annoying during that. Like, just shut up and let the man talk. Yeah. And I hope they don't get too, you know, they've gotten better over the years, but I really hope that, you know, that's the only thing that ever ruins it, is my favorite one was the 04 one, where it was in a small setting, and it was just basically like the boys, and they were telling stories, and that was my favorite one. That, because Bobby the Brain Heenan was just amazing going in. This is one of the best induction speeches of all time, and I was at that WrestleMania. So it has kind of like a personal tie in there. But I really hope that, you know, that the crowd is respectful and it's going to be, you know, a lot of fun. And I hope Goldberg's speech is like 2 seconds long. I'm next. That's it.
I would pop so hard. I would pop so hard if that were the case. That would be amazing. Yeah, this crowd again, please don't start yesing or anything like that. Just be respectful. Try to be a positive part of the ceremony. We'll see if that ends up happening or not. One of my favorite nights of the year, quite frankly, is anytime we get an amazing takeover card. And I think from the WWE perspective of the week anyways, I'm expecting this to be the highlight. Yes, even more so than WrestleMania. We should be past the point in time where it's surprising to say that, because starting with the first one of these in Dallas, where it was infinitely better than WrestleMania 32, sometimes it's a shot at the state of the product, as it was at the time of WrestleMania 32 with the big injury epidemic. Sometimes it's just NXT finding another level, as they appear to be on going into this show. These are the matches that are lined up. Andrade Cien Almas defends the NXT Championship against Aleister Black. The women's titles defended by Ember Moon against Shayna Baszler in a rematch of the NXT TakeOver show that happened Royal Rumble weekend. Undisputed Era, Cole and O'Reilly defending the tag team titles against the Authors of Pain and Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne. And then you've also got Cole, EC3, Killian Dane, Lars Sullivan, Ricochet, Velveteen Dream in a ladder match for the inaugural NXT North American Championship. That should be amazing. And then the blood feud of all blood feuds, unsanctioned match finally, about 10 months in the making, Johnny Gargano, Cleveland's own Johnny Wrestling, against that damn bastard Tommaso Ciampa. Gargano will be out for revenge. It will be bloodthirsty. It will be amazing. You gotta figure the match that's going on last, and a show that just top to bottom is going to be a contender for card of the year, and maybe the early favorite for it by the time the night's done.
Possibly. Again, on paper, I was actually unaware of the three-way tag team match, so you just brought it up.
Yeah.
That should be good. This should be great. Top to bottom, yeah, the NXT delivers all the time. And, they, you know, the pressure's on, but I think the pressure's on a lot more on this show as opposed to previous years. Because previous years, the main card, WrestleMania, was kind of a load of crap on paper.
Yeah.
This year, it is not. It is stacked top to bottom. But, you know, Triple H is going to have the NXT guys pumped, ready to go, fired up. Are we doing match by match predictions here? How do you want to do this?
We can do that. I'm going to say Gargano. I'm going to say for the North American title, I'm going to say Lars Sullivan. I'm going to go on out a little bit of a limb there because I think they're not done giving him a monster push. I'm going to say Undisputed Era retains in the tag team title match, setting up Authors of Pain to come out on either Raw or SmackDown. Shayna Baszler ends up with the Women's Championship, I believe. This is her moment. And Andrade Cien Almas, I'm going to say he retains against Aleister Black. I think there's a chance that Black is one of the call-ups right afterwards. Drew Galloway as well. I'm expecting him to come out on either Raw or SmackDown this week and be one of the call-ups. What are your thoughts? You disagree with any of those?
I disagree with the Aleister Black one. I think Aleister Black is going to win the title, and they're going to promote Andrade Cien Almas and Selena Vega up to the main roster just because he has that Hispanic thing. They're always looking for the next Hispanic star, and they used him in the Royal Rumble. They've had him, you know, he's been used a couple other times sparingly, so I see that. I see him kind of there. And plus, how long is he going to? He's been in NXT for 2 years now. People kind of forget that.
Yeah.
So I think it's time that he's hit his stride. It's time to get him up to the main roster. As far as the blood feud goes, I'm actually going to go with Tommaso Ciampa wins over Johnny Gargano, just because the whole story with Johnny Gargano and NXT has been that he's so close that he can't get it done. And I think that they're going to have probably the match of the night, match of the weekend, maybe match of the year. But it's going to come down to one of those. You remember the Three Stages of Hell match with Triple H and Stone Cold, and they hit each other in the head, and Triple H just happened to fall on top of Austin
right
to get the win?
I do remember
that's
that.
That's kind of how it's happening.
Here's the thing, though.
Let me
give you a little bit of a counterpoint there, because I believe, and if you listen to Triple H talk, they know what they have in Johnny Gargano. Now, that's not to say that these guys won't necessarily at some point be heading to 205 Live. But if that's the case, it's a sign of giving 205 Live a greater push rather than these guys not being deemed worthy of Raw or SmackDown. I'm still hopeful that they'll both end up on Raw or SmackDown. But they know what they have in Gargano, and it's a point where, again, kayfabe is not completely dead as far as perceptions go. That's why, you know, again, if you believe that, then you believe the whole thing that what wins and losses don't matter, which is crap. But can Gargano take another loss at this point from going completely winless in his feud with Andrade Cien Almas? I mean, at what point does the crowd give up on him if he doesn't win a big one?
Here's the thing. He's leaving anyway. So and Ciampa's staying, and if you go by the old school logic of, you know, you going out on your back, which I want to get that entire thing when we get to the next show, but if the story is told correctly, it can be done. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to be disappointed one bit if Johnny Gargano wins Smash, but if the story is told right, and in a loss, it can, and when, I know, you know, wins and losses don't matter, but they do. There could be so much more being told, especially if he's leaving, and when he gets up from a loss and he looks around at that crowd and that entire arena is chanting after an amazing match, thank you, Johnny, or Johnny Wrestling, and he leaves and he walks up, a la Sami Zayn against Shinsuke Nakamura. I'm imagining a situation like that, where it's like, you know, he gave it everything he had in NXT, and it's just, it would be the perfect story of Johnny Gargano in NXT. He gave you every single thing he had in that ring, and you believed all the way to the end, and he came up just that short. And that's when it comes into the, and you don't even have to rehabilitate him. He goes to 205 Live, okay? He goes into, like, I personally would love to see him go on 205 Live and then shock everybody to win the title on his first night there. Well, and then immediately everything's forgotten.
Yeah. If they do something like that and they strap a rocket to him immediately on call-up, wherever the call-up is, you could maybe do that. So the question for Johnny Gargano essentially in this match, the story of the match is Johnny Gargano the 2016 Cleveland Cavaliers or the 151 Cleveland sports teams in the big leagues between the 1964 Browns and the 2016 Cavs? That is the question of which incarnation of Cleveland sports.
I'm going to go with 151. just because I think there's more in that, like, you know, especially if he doesn't get it in NXT and you see him on the main roster, you're like, okay, I want, you know, when he gets it, it's going to be like, yeah, it's going to mean so much. It's going to mean so much. And the fact that I don't think Ciampa's going anywhere.
Right.
So if you have him go out on NXT TV the next week and be like, I ran him out of here. He's gone. Like, you know, he couldn't get it done. And then, boom, you got your next top heel feud with your new champion, Aleister Black.
Very interesting.
That's just my opinion.
Well, and I was so amused when I found that stat because, and that's counting the 2 years of the Cleveland Barons being in the NHL as far as the 151 major league seasons in there. Given that we had to pound so much 151 and all the disappointments leading up to the Cavs championship in 2016, how fitting that was. So you and I essentially are in agreement as well that the main event has an unofficial stipulation, or not necessarily main event because we're saying it's Gargano Ciampa, but the championship match with Almas and Black has an unofficial stipulation of loser leaves for greener pastures, yes?
Yeah, and I also would say that with the women's title match, too. I agree with you that Shayna Baszler is going to beat Ember Moon, and then I think Ember Moon is going to get promoted up to the main roster to be a part of making her debut in the bleep, bleep, Memorial Battle Royal.
Maybe so. Maybe that will be the case. That would make all the sense in the world is to not delay that call-up because, again, they're going to need bodies to fill that out. It's not like they can go back to the well of, oh, we'll just pad it with Kelly and all the other chodes from past years when the women weren't so great because they already did that in January. So not much you can do.
And if you kind of look at this too, this is usually the time of year where NXT gets a reset.
Yeah.
There's always the call-ups on Raw. I'm sure we'll get into that. There's always the call-ups for Raw and SmackDown, you know, later on. And, they just kind of they hit the reset button on everything. And plus, they're doing an actual reset after WrestleMania. So it would just make sense that, you know, they would get quite a few of them be getting called up. And, I mean, what else is there to accomplish?
They are, exactly.
we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.